tell you, going to juvenile home and been in jail.
It's just a matter of time,
you know, like, and he was really proud of me. His friend's never been in jail. University of Maryland.
How come you went there? So far away.
I had a lot of friends living in Michigan. Uh-huh. I met people that when I was in Detroit. When I was in service, and I was in Germany. Most of my friends were from Michigan, and as a matter of fact, no one really believed that I was from Texas. I didn't have that southern trapping about me. Always talked very quickly, you know, and I think my speech was more refined than the average southern black youngster going into school, you know, like fresh out of high school, going into service. And like people in New York, kids grow up in New York somewhat a little bit faster than kids that grow up in Waco and Dallas. And, you know, kids in Dallas a little bit faster than ones in Waco.
Yeah.
You know, it's that city trapping thing. And somehow or another, I was just a little bit advanced further. And it's, you know, like, they just didn't want to believe that I was from Texas. I never really talked with a slow drawl. My drawl has gotten worse, the older I've gotten. And that's primarily because of my association. Well, that's like on the telephone. I don't sound very black. I sound more like, more or less like maybe a white farmer around here.
Yeah, you do
to
me, too. Yeah,
I don't sound like the black southern on the phone. And I fool a lot of people, you know. It's not anything intentional. I remember I was recruiting jobs when I was a job development coordinator. And as this company, Blue Diamond, which supplies construction materials for contractors in Dallas area. And I had this beautiful rapport with the personnel manager and the foreman over at Blue Diamond, but they had never seen me. I always talked to them on the phone. So when we came up with all this business about affirmative action, well, Blue Diamond haven't had some federal contracts because it's a national company. And I called this fella one day, and I was talking to him. And he said, you know, I got to have me some blacks over here. I said, I don't have, you know, extra. He said, why don't you try to find me some? Well, that's the easy thing for me to do, because that's all I was seeing over in South Dallas at Martin Luther King Center, which was Crossroads then. All blacks that came in there. And I did a super job for him. So one day I called him up. He said, hey, Cal. I said, how you doing? He said, I need me some more people. He said, but let me tell you what. Don't send me any more of them niggas. You know what I'm talking about? I said, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I see too many of them myself. Yeah, I see them every day around here.
That's
crazy. Finally, one day, he said, when are you going to come over and have coffee with me?
Oh,
and I showed up.
Oh, that's tough. What did he do?
I started laughing. I made it easy for him.
Uh-huh.
I said, you didn't expect me, did you? He said, my God. He said, you didn't even curse me out. I said, no. I said, you know, I understand what you were talking about. I said, too much of anything ain't good for you. You know, it's just the fact that he needed to break down what was going on there. And I have found, like, in working situations, as an example here, there is better office relation, whereas that you have black, brown, and white.
Uh-huh.
I don't think my office is totally black. And I probably get less production sometimes than what I would really need to get, and less respect out of my own black environment in here.
Why do you think that is? I mean, why do you think it's better to have a mix?
You keep people more honest. Number one, you very rarely find